Al Jazeera Podcasts.
Today, a dangerous mission to uncover shark fin trafficking.
They are the top predator of the sea, but now they are the ones under threat, and it's a global problem.
We follow the fins, poached in Peru, to the dining table at a New York restaurant, asking one question: what's being done to save the sharks? I'm Kevin Hurton, and this is The Take. So let's meet our journalist who went inside the hidden and dangerous world of the shark fin trade.
I'm Josh Rushing, the senior correspondent for Fault Lines on Al Jazeera English.
Josh, I saw in your report that 100 million sharks are harvested for their fins each year. Did I get that right? That seems like an insane amount of sharks.
That's what blew me away early on in the research and made me want to do this story. I couldn't get my head around 100 million sharks a year. And I thought, okay, well, maybe I don't know how many sharks are in the ocean. Maybe that's not that big of a number. But no, it turns out in the last 50 years, the shark population has dropped by 70%. And what's interesting is sharks have been on Earth longer than trees have. They've survived every single extinction event. They survived what the dinosaurs did not. And yet they may not survive what's happening right now. Because the thing is, 100 million sharks a year are being killed. Sharks aren't bred in captivity. And they also, they don't reproduce every year. Some species of shark, it takes 10 to 20 years for them to reproduce. So we're seeing significant changes. What that means is, because it's the apex predator, you start changing the entire ecosystem at the top, and that ripples all the way down to the bottom in the coral reefs. And so it really is important, not just for saving this majestic beast that's been here forever, but just to save the ecosystem of the ocean, which, of course, the planet and humans depend on.
So, okay, Josh, you're doing a story about shark fins and specifically shark fin hunting, since it's a huge reason many of these sharks are being killed. And you went to Peru, and I know that in other parts of the region, such as Ecuador, shark fin hunting has been banned. So what took you to Peru?
Peru is now the largest exporter of shark fins in the world, but it is restricted, and the government oversees it, but there's these massive smuggling operations. So I learned there's only been one bust in Peru, maybe 3 or 4 years ago. So we went to Chimbote, Peru, which is a flight from Lima and then a two-hour drive. I met this environmental prosecutor, really steely-eyed, inspiring environmental prosecutor named Evelyn La Madrid. And she had been investigating shark fins and the smuggling that was coming through Ecuador and through that region of Peru.
In 2016, we started to focus on the trafficking, buying, and exportation of shark fins.
And I heard that she was working on another bust.
So from there, we began to investigate.
So it was kind of a big deal. And so we were able to gain exclusive access. And we went down and we did some of our own reporting as well. And it turned out there were 9 different shark species found. And one of them was actually a baby whale shark, which is completely protected.
So tell us about this bust. There was a drone, a police raid, and more drying shark fins than you've ever seen in your entire life.
Yeah. So what happened is Evelyn and her small team were surveilling a house that they'd been watching for a couple or a few years. They had a suspicion that they were drying shark fins in there, but she didn't have enough evidence for a warrant to go in.
But that didn't stop Evelyn and her team on their hunt to find the fins.
And when you looked at it, it turned out the whole roof was just covered in shark fins.
It's a 2-story house where they are drying shark fins. Drying shark fins is illegal. Illegal.
And they had photographic evidence of all of it.
So that gave them the evidence that they needed to get the warrant and to go on the bust. And we were inside the whole thing, step for step.
And Evelyn, as lead investigator, is leading every aspect of this raid.
It was pretty intense, actually, because the fishermen are really against this. And I think it was right across from a fish market. And right across from the bay where all the boats were parked and stuff. So all these fishermen started crowding around, and you had like 30 riot cops out front to keep them back while Evelyn went in and served the warrant and kind of rushes to the top of the roof. And then there's this reveal of like all these shark fins.
More shark fins. Here are more shark fins. More shark fins. More shark fins.
While they were waiting for a warrant, I, on a hunch, took our drone and went to another neighborhood near the harbor. And we just put it up over some neighborhoods, and we found much larger operation. For all her best efforts, and even on her best day of that bust, what she is struggling against is so much larger than her.
But Peru is kind of a way station. Nearly 75% of shark fins that go through Peru are actually from Ecuador. And you went to Ecuador. So you went to the root of the problem. What did you find there?
We did. We found a state in turmoil. I've been to Ecuador before, and it is different now. It really is. The two Mexican drug cartels have moved in, and it is one of the most violent countries in the world at this point, with these two cartels basically fighting over it.
An Ecuadorian presidential candidate was shot as he got into a car at a campaign rally. Police say the candidate died from his injuries. He had campaigned against cartels and corruption. Ed O'Keefe is in-
and not just the whole state, but particularly along the coast, because that's what the cartels want, are those shipping routes. So, of course, we're on the coast because we're looking into this shark thing. Yeah, they weren't really happy that we were there. We got into a fish market where they were bringing in just hundreds of sharks, big piles of sharks, and they're finning them right there. And we were able to get in and do some filming, but pretty quickly people got pretty upset and we had to leave. And people were saying we were DEA. And that's like, you can't disprove it because no matter what you say, they'll say you're undercover or whatever. So we had to leave Ecuador a lot quicker than we were intending to. But we saw the sharks coming in. We saw there was no one there regulating it.
So, Josh, this is pretty remarkable stuff. You barely get out of there alive. And when you did, you met with another Ecuadorian, someone very familiar with the shark fin trade.
Lo que pasa es que el sistema es controlado.
What happens is the system is controlled by the mafias.
No hay inspectores.
There are no inspectors upon arrival.
No hay nadie tomando.
There is no one tracking the numbers.
No hay nadie.
There's no one monitoring the species.
His name is Oswaldo Rosario. He's a maritime analyst, and it sounds like he was amazed by what you were able to find.
Yeah, yeah. He does really significant work tracking these ships and these boats with satellite technology and stuff like that, so he can figure out the routes and what's going on and where they're getting the sharks. And he couldn't believe that we got into the market, the Santa Rosa market, where we did. And it made us kind of realize afterward that maybe that was as dangerous as it felt like it was while we were there.
You did manage to talk to one smuggler in Ecuador. What are some of the secrets he shared with you about the trade?
Well, I think the most shocking thing was he told us not only that he exports directly to the United States, but how he does it by hiding it underneath the ice when they ship really large fish like swordfish or whatever. Mm. They stuff a bunch of shark fins under the ice.
And these smugglers, they spoke to you with anonymity. So this guy's voice is disguised here, but he says clearly they are shipping these shark fins to the United States, among other places.
If we send a swordfish, that weighs about 200 pounds, which is pretty large. We'll send a certain amount under the fish. We send a little bit of shark fins that way. And since they don't just send a single crate, they send 10, 20, 30 crates. It makes for a pretty significant volume.
The reason that was shocking to us is that shark fins are illegal in the U.S., the whole country federally. But they've been illegal in different states, like New York, for a good 10 years. And yet, that's where he said they were shipping it to. So at that point, we knew we had to get out of Ecuador for our safety. But the story was leading us to New York.
We've seen the supply side. What about the demand side? Josh and his team go undercover in New York City to buy some shark fin soup. That's after the break.
Welcome to Necessary Tomorrows. My name is Ursula. I am an AI. and I have inferred from your online activity that you have been feeling more dread than hope when you think about the future that is coming for us here in the 2060s. So I have created a course just for you to enhance your capacity for imagining different futures. Necessary Tomorrows, an audio series by Doha Debates and Al Jazeera. Find it where you listen to podcasts.
A quick reminder before we get back to our show. If you're listening to The Take on Google Podcasts, starting April 2nd, the app will no longer be available. So find us on YouTube Music, Spotify, CastBox, or any other podcast platform.
How does shark fin soup taste? And why has the high price and allure turned soup into a status symbol? Well, we're about to find out. Okay, so Josh, you've really been to the root of the problem there. You're going to the other side, which is where the shark fin is theoretically consumed. What did you find in New York?
Yeah, I mean, we pretty much go from the ocean to the bowl, right? But the thing is, I can't just walk into a Chinese restaurant in Chinatown in New York.
If you walk into a fancy Chinese restaurant, the owner and the managers, even if they do serve those food in the restaurant, they would deny it.
So Josh hired this guy to do it for him.
And because I couldn't access these places, we hired a professional undercover investigator.
That voice you heard, that was the investigator. His voice is disguised.
They see a stranger face or a new face. They will not take the risk because they know this is illegal.
He's Chinese, and so we flew him into New York, and then we would drop him at different markets or restaurants or streets to see if he could find someone willing to sell shark fins. And he did. He found a back room at a restaurant that would set up a very elaborate meal for us and serve shark fin soup as the highlight of the meal.
They were selling it under the table, right? I mean, did he have to negotiate?
So it was definitely a negotiation to get in. He had to make a cover story for us. He said we were oil men from Buenos Aires. And it was in the back room of a kind of restaurant that when we walked in, everyone stopped and watched us all the way through to the back room where they shut the door. And it was a very elaborate meal, several courses long. I had to pay in cash. Just to give you a sense of the economics of this, we had four people at this dinner, but they had prepared it for five for $3,600.
Shark fin is an incredibly lucrative commodity.
Ben Freitas, the manager of ocean policy with World Wildlife, compares these ridiculous prices to street drugs.
I mean, the price per kilogram is equivalent to several different illicit drugs.
Wow.
Yeah. And then while we're in the back room, the servers were over us kind of the whole time. So it was pretty tricky. But I was able at one point when they were looking away to drop some of the noodles. I just reached my hand into the bowl, pulled the noodles out and dropped them into my lap, or I had like a little cup waiting and then covered that with my napkin.
Undercover reporting and polite table manners don't always go hand in hand. But the compromise was worth it, Josh says.
We were able to get those noodles out and get them to a scientist down in Florida who DNA tested them and confirmed 100% that these were real sharks. The chef had told us that they were from South America, but because of the way it was cooked, it degraded the DNA to the point that we have not been able to identify the species. But we confirmed that it's shark fins. And here's the thing, they haven't had a bust in years.
There should not be the sale of shark fins anywhere in the U.S. anymore.
That's Ben Freitas again.
So it's surprising that there is, and it's disappointing, but speaks to the challenges for really effectively implementing and enforcing these prohibitions.
So the reason we did it is because we wanted to know from the Department of Environmental Conservation, the DEC, who should be in charge of this, why can I roll into New York in a weekend and get this? And they're responsible for this. We've asked them for an interview. We asked them for their statement. They really wouldn't engage.
So just to be clear, you found all this evidence in one weekend. You brought it to the authorities. And the response was just nothing?
They will not give us an interview. They would not respond to any of the evidence. And they won't even tell us how many shark fin busts they've had since it went illegal there. And what's interesting is they put out a press release when they had their first bust of shark fins in 2015 or 16. And so here they are. They're actually putting it out to the press, right? But now they won't even answer. Have there been any since then? I don't know. So this is where we're left, that there are back rooms in New York where they sell shark fins, which are clearly illegal. And from what we can see and what the DEC has told us, they can kind of do it without too much problem.
Yeah. Josh, one of the most incredible things I learned in your report is that shark fin is flavorless. So all of these sharks are dying for a flavorless soup ingredient.
Well, I think, Kevin, you're exactly right. The saddest part of the story is that they're not tasty. They're not good for you. They don't. So there's like, I guess, a myth or whatever that they increase virility. And so it's often served at weddings. But that's not true. It's just cartilage that's so terrible to eat. They have to boil it for like 8 hours to get it soft enough that they can kind of strip it into what looks like noodles. And then at our mill, they took that, stuffed it in a chicken and sewed the skin of the chicken around it and cooked that for like another 8 hours. So all you're tasting is chicken soup with this cartilage in it that isn't good for anyone. And it's so heartbreaking when you think that it, basically the reason it sells, the reason it has that value, is it's simply a status symbol.
A lot of wealthy customers, like real estate investors, they love to eat shark fin.
This, again with his voice disguised, is the chef that made Josh's bowl of soup. Let me ask you this as a journalistic question. Your decision not to name the restaurant, they clearly aren't worried about being busted by the authorities in New York State or federally.
You're right. They're operating with impunity. The problem is the much larger system. And I think if authorities were doing their job and they actually busted these places, yeah, there may be more reticence to actually serve it. But it's even larger than that because of the countries, particularly in Asia, where it isn't illegal. It needs to be global, but the story's got to get out there. This just isn't worth it. It's a myth about virility. They don't taste good. They're not healthy. Maybe we could just let these guys be for a while, and maybe their population would recover on its own. It's one of those stories that I think if people just knew what the stakes are here and what they're really getting, this one's not that hard to solve.
And that's The Take. You can find Fault Lines, the Shark Fin Hunters documentary, on aljazeera.com or on YouTube. We'll pop a link in our show's description. This episode was produced by Zainab Badr with Amy Walters, Miranda Lin, David Enders, Khalid Sultan, Nagin Oliayi, Chloe K. Lee, Sonia Bhagat, Ashish Malhotra, Sari Al-Khalili, Farhanisa Kampana, and me, Kevin Hurton, in for Malika Bilal. Our sound designer is Alex Roldan. Joe Plord mixed this episode. Alexandra Locke is The Take's executive producer. And Ney Alvarez is Al Jazeera's head of audio. We'll be back.